Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. This program is about those very scriptures, actually the very opposite. There's a process that I call diaprax. It is used globally all around the world, very actively practiced in our nation. A common word used by social engineers is the word praxis. Well, that's part of diaprax, the dialectic process in practice, or praxis. Now, the last few programs, I've been talking about Carl Rogers, Rogerian psychology and its effect upon our culture. It's called a culture war. Or a paradigm shift. It's not really a paradigm shift. It's a change from a paradigm of right and wrong to a paradigm of shiftiness. And the last program, if you were listening in, it covered the spectrum of this process. It's a process that cannot accept fixity, as Carl Rogers called it, cannot accept right and wrong, cannot accept black and white, above, below. It is always a process of change, changingness. And that's the key to understanding the dialectic. It is all tied to feelings, because our feelings are constantly changing. And our thoughts, because we're, you know, the Bible actually says ever learning. See, ever thinking, ever discovering new things, but never able to come to an understanding. And the reason for that is because God has given us the understanding. He's given us the truth. It's interesting that Adam and Eve, before they sinned, before they ate of the fruit, they had an understanding. And the understanding was, if you eat of the tree of knowledge good and evil, you're going to die. And so therein, the understanding, the knowledge, comes from God. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding. In fact, see, that's the consequence. If you disobey, there's accountability. We are now in a nation that will be judged. We are accountable. Nations are accountable before God, and He's going to judge the nations, because the nations of the world have not accepted Him. In fact, Scripture is very clear that they would not accept Him, because the nature of man is to love himself, to love the creation, love the pleasure. See, lovers of pleasure rather than God. See, loving the creation rather than the Creator. This is the very heart, that the dynamo of that whole outcome that we're seeing fulfilled from the Word of God is based upon this dialectical process. And it is manifest for us to look at. And of course, the social engineers looked at Genesis 3:1-6. There were men like Walter Benjamin. He was a Marxist who studied. He was a member of the Frankfurt School. But he studied Scripture. And the intent of studying Scripture was not to show themselves approved unto God. It was to study the methods that Satan used to deliver, quote-unquote, man from a patriarchal right and wrong way of thinking. Now, the anathema, the opposite, the antithesis of dialectic is contrast. Dialectic is always focusing on common, and we all start with common. What did you and I come onto this face of this earth with that we all have in common? The laws of the flesh. All that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is where we find our commonality, our feelings. It is not good that man be alone. So we have a feeling. When somebody rejects you, there's a hurt. There's a feeling. And so being sensible or reasonable, see, our thinking is always in regards to feelings. And so if we can find a common feeling, consensus, your politicians practice consensus. That means they have come to agreement on feelings, not on truth. See, we have moved away from a majority vote structure where there is a right and a wrong. See, we've moved away from win and lose. The Bible is very win-lose. It's not a win-win. It's a win-lose situation. If you fear God and obey Him and repent of your sins before Him, and you know your righteous, His righteousness is imputed to you, your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb, you win. It's not a work that you do. And therein comes the problem, because in the dialectical process, it incorporates your participation. You have to be willing to participate in removing anything of contrast. You have to remove anything that promotes a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, anything that's fixed. And the last program I talked about, the spectrum. And the last final stage, as we were talking about it, Rogers writes in his book on becoming a person, because of the tendency of the sixth stage to be irreversible, that's before the seventh, the person, see, is brought into this non-hostile environment. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? This bonding, relationship-building environment. And ministers practice this. I've had ministers tell me that they'll spend 3 months bonding with somebody before they ever share the gospel. Well, they're not sharing the gospel, folks. They're sharing a so-called gospel. Because even Jesus, when he confronted the woman at the well, he cut to the chase. It was not an issue of dialogue. He was preaching and teaching to her. He was informing her. He wasn't discovering with her truth. And I'll have ministers yell at me because they go, oh, we got a dialogue. Dialogue is what Satan got Eve to do in the garden. Jesus didn't dialogue with anybody. Look at the last days on earth. He wasn't dialoguing. He was preaching and teaching. The Word of God is revealed. If it came from private interpretation, if it's just, and of course that's what's happened today. We have all these so-called translations out there. They don't come from the Textus Receptus, and there's a whole debate. I went through seminary, and boy, you talk about hate. There's a contempt in our intellectual Christian arena, a contempt for Textus Receptus. It's a spirit. It's an intellectual spirit. And the reason is those were the received texts. Those were the texts that were copied from the originals and protected down through the years, that we get the King James and the Geneva and the Tyndale and Luther's Bible, and we have several that were translated from. But now we have all these translations from the Alexandrian text, which were the Gnostic texts. Those were built on opinions. How do you feel? What do you think? They took the original and they tweaked them. They tweaked them into men's opinions. And so the church now, the apostate church, is in love with those apostate manuscripts. And then you go to seminary, that's what you're going to be feeding from, at the trough of apostasy, calling it Christianity. Because they have rejected the truth, because those manuscripts will not interfere with your relationship with man, your relationship with this world, your relationship with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, because it allows you to dialogue. Now, so to get to this seventh stage, this spectrum from one, which is a person comes in with right and wrong, and you don't want them to participate, because if I was doing this process and you came in with right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, 2 + 2 = 4, cannot be any other number, I don't want you to participate, because there are people in the room, I've already got process, I've got them coming out of that, and if you come in, you bring restraint back into their lives. They're all of a sudden there's this fear of accountability to higher authority, higher than man. We want the people to be thinking about some higher authority above man, but it's of our own making. But by the time you get to the sixth and seventh stage, you have incorporated this feeling. How do you feel? What do you think? Language, because language directly correlates with your paradigm. The traditional patriarchal paradigm. The contrast paradigm isn't not. 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. See, God told Adam, you cannot. You know, you can eat of all of the other trees here, but you cannot eat of this tree. And then when they did, see, then God comes in and he's saying, I am God and you're not. Now, God had already said that when they cannot. When a parent tells a child they can't go out, now we know who's in authority. They're the author. The one in authority is the one who authors the language of restraint. Because the one under authority is restrained. You notice in the last days, the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, will be removed. Why? Because there's not a language of restraint. Today, as you speak the truth, people glaze over. They cannot handle the truth. They don't have the structure for truth. Because the language today is, how do you feel? What do you think? Make me feel good, and I will listen to you. But you look at the Word of God as it is. God is not hung up on how you feel and what you think. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Is he against feelings and thoughts? No, but you bring every thought, you take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. You weigh every thought. You weigh your feelings in light of his word, what he says. And we find that language in the temptation, in the wilderness, with Jesus before Rogerian psychology. You want to go to college and get a psychology degree? You're going to study Rogerian psychology. Just save your money. Go to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and study how it's done. Open-ended, exact process Satan did with Eve. Non-directive, exact process that Satan did with Eve. The same procedure he tried on Jesus in the wilderness, in the temptation, and Jesus would not participate. He would not go under Satan's paradigm. He simply presented the truth. He did not move from his patriarchal paradigm. What my Father commands, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will, that's patriarch. When my dad says jump, you jump. When my dad says go into the promised land and spy out and come back and give me the information, you don't come back going, I feel and I think. See, they were 10 spies that did that. That's the apostate church today. The ministers that get upset because they can't handle it is written. They have to have this freedom, this satanical language of how do you feel and what do you think? Don't hurt people's feelings. Let me tell you something. Hell is going to be eternal when a lot of people are going to have feelings. And what about the flood? Talk about, oh, Noah, you know, man, he was the one who was obedient to God. And there were a lot of people who had some feelings in regard to Noah. You know, he was a social misfit. You know, probably the butt of everybody's jokes. The same is true today. But he was a man of faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You accept God's word as is. You don't go in and go, I feel and I think. If you go, if for instance, we're in an environment where a fact is brought in and you have to accept it by faith, the moment you or anybody in the room goes, I feel and I think, you've just moved away from faith. That's all of counseling today. You go into the Bible studies. They're not Bible studies. You're not studying to show yourself approved unto God. You're impressing yourself with other people. You're building human relationship. How do you feel? What do you think? And so human experience is why we're here. No, we are here. Jesus chose us the example. He didn't come here to do what he wanted to do. Nevertheless, thy will be done. He was obedient to his Father, even to death, and he showed you and me how we must live. Did that mean he was stiff-necked and hard-hearted? No. But he spoke the truth. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not to your own understanding. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He trusted in his Father, and he's called you and me to do the same thing. That's the true church. But Roger says by the time you get to the seventh stage, the person becomes, because of the tendency of the sixth stage to be irreversible, once a person's gone into this process, once they no longer concerned about what God says, but they're concerned about how they feel about what God says, or what they think about what God says, or how somebody else feels about what God says, or what somebody else thinks about what God said. Then they're not tied to what God said. It doesn't matter how anybody on the face of the earth feels or thinks on the day of judgment with you before God. It's irrelevant. And yet I guarantee today, you thought about how somebody else thought about you and how somebody else feels about you. See, and that's the temptation. We're drawn away by this lust of the flesh, because the lust of flesh is, what can I get out of this situation for me? That's man's love. Why do you hang around with certain people? Because they make you feel good. See, what if the Lord said, you go down to the person, you just cannot even stand being around, and I want you to spend a week with them and love them. Now, people do that, but they do that because they came from a group that they really like to be around, and then they go do their thing, and they come back, and they report to the group. Look what I did. See, that's vanity. Spiritual vanity. That's the crowd Jesus is going to say, well, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I didn't send you, because I didn't know you, because my Father didn't send you, because my Father sends you into the desert. My Father sends you into where you are going to die daily. You know, get those feelings going. That's why you have to practice this, denying yourself. and picking up your cross. But here he's saying, okay, now you're irreversible. You're tied into how everybody feels and thinks. The client goes on. They call them clients. That's everybody in the world is a client. Goes on into the seventh stage without much need of the therapist's help. They're possessed. New feelings are experienced in the therapeutical relationships used as a clear reference. Personal constructs held loosely. What does that mean? That means you're ambiguous. The French use the word ambiguous for homosexuality. It's ambiguous. Well, you know, this is like what Hegel said. He said, when we're no longer concerned about what somebody has done that's wrong, but we're only concerned about what they have done that is right, then peace and affirmation have come to us. See, God just needs to get on board. He needs to just be concerned about what people have done right and no longer concerned about what anybody has done that is wrong. Well, so much for holiness and purity and righteousness. See, if that's the church that Jesus has come back, he's coming back for a whore. No, he's not coming back for a whore. That's that mega church out there practicing whoredom, finding human relationship as their foundation before God. And that's a stenching, filthy wreck. The best that you'll ever do in your life, or the best that I've ever done in my life, in my own self, is as a filthy, stinking menstrual rag. It's his work and his work alone. It's his will and his will alone. Look at what Jesus said. Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is not a partnership with God. God's not going to get in the room with you and me and come to a consensus on how we feel and what we think and make his decision on that basis. And yet that's the apostasy that goes on all around our nation. And around the world. That the Antichrist rules with that. That's all Satan wanted Jesus to do, to get into sharing his opinion. And Jesus cuts it off. It is written, it is written, it is written. So now here's the key. The last statement in this spectrum of Carl Rogers, Rogerian psychology. And if you haven't followed the other programs, I'm probably just jumping in here and I'm not really explaining the dialectic itself. I may get to that in this program. But he says, willing to communicate himself in a receptive climate. So you're trained. Even kindergarten students are now being trained in Bloom's taxonomy to see the environment of receptivity. And the environment of receptivity is, where can I share my flesh nature and it be received? So the agenda is to make sure that every soul on the face of the earth is comfortable, is receptive in the environment of abomination. That's what it is. I'm not being extreme. Read, I'm going through these quotes. If you've been following me, you know. If you've been looking at Rogerian psychology from a biblical, putting on the mind of Christ and looking at him, you'll see that this is nothing but intellectualized Satanism. Intellectualized witchcraft. That's all it is. Same pattern. Now, Rogers goes on. He says, at the end of the continuum, the spectrum, those who are on the left side or right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, those are neurotic people, insist that there's right and wrong, even go a counter to their own natural inclinations. The individual at the left side avoids close relationships. They see you as paranoid, asocial, antisocial. You protect your children. Parents who say, evil company corrupts good morals. Those are the people who today need counseling. That's the family that has to be destroyed. It's pedophilia, folks. I call it child protective services. Built on this, and I covered this in a prior program, where Freud considered every child sexually active. That's psychology. You can stand up and holler and scream and say, no, you deceived yourself. The whole foundation of psychology is on pedophilia. Freud considered every child sexually active. And in fact, American Psychiatric Association came out a few years ago and said if the adult and the child had a meaningful sexual relationship and nobody is hurt, whatever that means, then it's okay. They said that. That is the spirit. That's the soul. That's a foundation of psychology. Call yourself a Christian psychologist and say, I don't do that. You're built on that foundation. There is no other foundation but pedophilia. In fact, Irvin Yalom, in his book Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy, he said Sigmund Freud in psychology is built on incest and pedophilia, incest and patricide. Because a heavenly father will not put up with abomination. But now we have a whole foundation of abomination. It's even in the church, and you're seeing it manifest. So it's a continuum moving from those who are thinking righteousness, chastening, you chasten, to produce a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so they have to deliver the family. They have to go in and rescue these children from these parents who insist that they get themselves under control and humble themselves and deny themselves so they would understand a God, a loving God, but a God of law. Now, are we saved by the law? No. The law simply reveals our flesh, reveals that we're wicked. Of course, these guys don't see themselves as wicked. They would say the only problem with you is you're uneducated. You haven't gone through the dialectical process. You haven't sold your soul to the world system. And so this person on the left side that has, he can't really have close relationship because he believes there's right and wrong. You know, this is the church is the called out ones. The called out, what are you called out of? You're called out of the world, the relationship with the world, in the world, but not of it. And he's saying these people perceive that it's a dangerous world. Then he said, once we get your soul, once we get you into this process, into the counsel, into the group hug, into kindergarten class, first grade to 12th grade, undergraduate, graduate, master's, workplace, every facet of society, once we get you into the team building experience, at the other end, he lives openly and freely in relation to the facilitator, the therapist, and to others, guiding his behavior on the basis of his immediate experience. See, that's what Satan was helping Eve to do. Guide her behavior on the basis of immediate experiencing. What was she experiencing? Desire to touch the tree. She looked at the tree, sense perception, and she had a sense experience. She ate of it. And therein, dialectically, is truth. Truth is a moment in correct praxis. What's the correct praxis? That's Antonio Gramsci. Is doing the very same and repeating the same process that Satan got Eve to practice in the garden. And Adam, he just abdicated. You know, I say Eve was the first environmentalist. See, the environment triggers the desire to relate with it. It gets to your mind. You say, oh, that was pleasurable. Where'd that come from? You look into the environment. See, God's not of material. And so if something is sensuous from the environment, you look into it to continue the pleasure, then that's a cycle. Environment triggers pleasure in you. Your mind then realizes the pleasure is there. You look in the environment to get more pleasure. You're not in love with the things in the world. You're in love with the things in the world that produce the pleasure. You're in love with the pleasure. You see that? You come into this. I come into this world, this life, with this law of the flesh. Of course, to the humanists, they would say that's the real you. And then comes the parent and says, no, you can't do what you want to do. And that produces neurosis because you believe they're right. And you're counter, you're into denial of your real self. And so you prevent, because of these commands from above, you prevent yourself from the experiences of holisticness and healthiness. But according to Rogers, once you're into this process, you become an integrated process of changingness. You're adaptable to a rapidly changing world. You can bond with the cosmic forces. Then Rogers continues on becoming a person. He says, it seemed to me it would be a horrible thing to have to profess a set of beliefs in order to remain in one's profession. Now, he's a liar because he presents a set of beliefs. What's his belief? Is that man is good. This is Aristotelian. Man is basically good. Well, maybe he's good or bad. He's neither one, in fact. It's the environment that triggers, that determines. See, Marx said, individuality is of no worth. It is the society shapes the individual. And so you have to find what's common with all men. What's this? This environment, sensuous relationship. And so that's the humanist concept. But he's saying these people who go around and profess this belief, right and wrong and black and white, He said, I would hate to be in that environment. He said, the inner core of man's personality is the organism itself. It's your flesh. That's where your personality comes from, which is essentially both of self-preserving and social. Well, in fact, they were saying neurosis, if you read Freud, neurosis is because the child wants to preserve himself from the parent, so he learns that he better do what the parent tells him to do, or he's going to be whipped so much he's going to die. So for the sake of life, he does what the parent does, and therefore he lives a life that's oppressive and repressed. You know, he's just a maladjusted person. Walking in neurosis. So your legislators that have principles, that believe in right and wrong, are neurotic. And so the subcommittees, do you realize this? The subcommittees, and they're over and over all the time, they're going to these subcommittees, with a facilitator is all therapy? Has nothing to do with a budget? It really does. But the budget is you got to get the money out from under the control of people who think right and wrong and black and white and sheep and goats and heaven, hell, and think a patriarchal paradigm. It's that simple. That's the home. That's the father figure in the home. And so the child then obeys the parent because of self-preservation, and therefore they go out and produce a society of right and wrong. You better do what I tell you to do if you work for me, because if you do it's wrong, you're going to be looking for another job. So you just haven't learned how to, you know, the old common sense school was, if you don't loan somebody something, if that somebody breaks everything they get a hold of. If you hold something valuable, you're not going to give it to them. But you see, that is non-dialectic. That's right and wrong. He's doing what's wrong. I'm not going to relay with him on this. No, what you need to do, and this is what happens in our culture, is that you open up your doors, you share whatever you have that's precious to you, get this other person to experience it. And if he breaks it, well, that's another opportunity for bonding. See, that's the foolishness. Of course, they'd say, oh, we don't do that. Sure you do that. Because you put aside holiness and righteousness for the sake of human relationship. Then he says, do we dare to generalize from this type of experience that if we cut through deeply enough to our organismic nature, that's what he said, that we find that man is a positive and social animal? That's all you are, as an animal. Now, this is Carl Rogers and the dialectical process. We're running out of time on this part. We'll pick it up on the other side. My name is Dean Gocher. I encourage you to get to my website, authorityresearch.com. Lots of information on this dialectical process that is the very foundation of the Antichrist, and it is the New World Order.